chosen, please?
This is Dean.
Harry, my name is Brent Kelly. You don't know me from Adam, but George Shuba suggested that I call you.
Isn't that nice? Where'd you see George?
Well, I talked to him on the phone.
Where are you now?
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, sir.
Lexington, Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm a veterinarian by occupation, but I also interview former ball players for a magazine.
Yeah.
And George said that you would be a great guy to talk to.
Sounds good.
May I do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. I appreciate it very much.
Just a moment.
Sure.
Someone, George Cuban, wants to talk to me about baseball. Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask you, 10 or 12 questions, and just answer as long or as short as you want to, please.
All right.
As a very young man, you were 21 years old, you were called up to the Reds.
That's right.
One game. Why?
Well, I started actually in 1933, I was signed by the St. Louis Browns. I'm from California.
And you were what? You just turned 17, is that right?
That's right. I was sent to San Antonio. And that time there weren't many leagues. And they let me go.
Mm-hmm.
So very few leagues. Anyway, I kept trying to get things going out in California. We had a lot of good players out because we played all year long.
Right.
In fact, Mickey Owen was one of them out there, and Bobby Doerr, you know, in the American League.
Sure.
Don Ross, and so anyway, Steve Mesner. So I never could get a chance. So in 1935, in the spring, in the winter, before I had read for Ray Doan. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I read where Ray Doan had a baseball school in Hot Springs, Arkansas. $150 for 6 weeks, and of course you had to pay your own expenses.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Mike had played shortstop in 32 for the Portland and for Oakland. He'd been around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I wrote Mr. Doan a letter and told him I was a real good ball player, that if he'd let me go to the school free, that he could use my name, which, by the way, if you look back on the sporting news, he did.
Okay.
A lot of fun. Anyway, so I went there, and they had Dizzy Dean was there, and Paul Dean instructors, and George Sisler, and Burley Grimes, and...
that's first rate.
Bunch of, anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't have much money. I had to do... And there was a fellow named Josh Billings. He was one of the instructors. By the way, I didn't realize, but he was up in the big leagues with John Billings for quite a while, if you look in second.
Uh-huh. I know the name.
So anyway, he had the franchise for Lake Charles in the Evangeline League. To make a long story short, when they got together, I'd been around a little bit. I was just 19, but, I knew how to look good. And anyway, he came up to me, and I didn't have time to fool around, and he signed me right away. The second, I could have done maybe better, but anyway, I did. So anyway, I went to Lake Charles in the Evangeline League.
Mm-hmm.
Hit 321. That was kind of a working agreement with Fort Worth. I finished the Fort Worth season with them. And in the spring, I went to spring training with Fort Worth, and then Fort Worth sent me to El Dorado in the Cotton States League, which was a Cincinnati farm,
mm-hmm.
organization. I hit 261 that year, caught every inning of every game.
The whole season?
Yep.
My Lord.
In the playoff. And I hit about 13, 14 home runs, and I remember 80 RBIs. And, ballplayers, we remember everything.
Oh, sure.
And I was a pretty good ball player. And on that team was Harry Kraft. You hear him?
Oh, yes.
All right, he was center fielder. And Whitey Moore, right-hand pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, anyway, Whitey went up to finish the season, I think it was Cincinnati. But anyway, the next year I came back I hit 342, most valuable player. We won the playoff. In Cincinnati, we were a farm club for Durham, you know, the working agreement. And I went up to Cincinnati to finish the season by way of Durham, you know, the papers. And I went up there and I caught one game. And that was so I went to spring training. And there's a little story in there. During the winter, they optioned me to Albany in the Eastern League.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pissed off because I wanted to go to spring training.
Yeah.
You get the idea?
Sure.
So that was the year when Judge Landis was making a lot of free agents.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a letter to him. And he sent it down to George Brannan, who was a minor league czar, although I don't know why, because I was a property of the big league club, you understand? Because, of course, they were big buddies. Anyway, spring training was about to start down in Tampa, Florida. I lived in California. And I got a wire from Warren Giles, who was the, you know, president, general manager of Cincinnati.
Right.
Said Lombardi is holding out, need catchers. So I jumped, you know, he sent me there, then I went on the train and got to Tampa, you know. And I no sooner came into the Floridian Hotel in Tampa and checked in, and the clerk said, I've got orders that as soon as you come check in, you are to go up to room so-and-so to Giles. Can you hold a minute?
Sure.
You there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So anyway, when I got up there, there was Gabe Paul. You know who Gabe Paul is?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Gabe was his secretary, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was Tuesday. I'm going to call back later. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Mr. Giles said to me, what the hell are you trying to pull? See, he had that letter. That's why he got me there. Well, you know, I had led the league in hitting. I was 21 years old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I could have gotten free agency because I had written a letter saying that I had signed before originally underage.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was scared to death. I didn't have any money. I was here. I was 3,000 miles away from home. And he said, I'm going to forget it. I mean, you sign this letter, and I'm going to guarantee you that we'll bring you up at the end of the year from Albany. He gave me a letter to that effect. In effect, I was signing away my free agency rights.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize it. Naive kid. I was on the blacklist, evidently.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I went down to Albany, and I had a good year. I hit about 265, which did a pretty good job. So at the end of the year, I saw in the paper they were recalling Cincinnati ball players, you know,
mm-hmm.
and my name wasn't among it. So I woke Warren Giles up about 5 in the morning, collect. And he was pissed off at me, of course, and I told him, I said, what's the idea? He said, I'm not exercising, I'm option. I'm selling you to Albany.
Oh.
I said, well, hell, I've got a letter here saying that you're going to recall me. He said, well, you give me any static, I'll recall you and send your ass down to Durham in the Piedmont League, which was a lower league.
Right.
Of course, if I'd have had any sense, I'd have gone but anyway, that's the story.
Well, that is not a very good story.
Well,
that's terrible. I believe you, but that's terrible. That, doggone it.
Uh-huh.
That's really bad. You are an honest-to-goodness baseball player.
Well, to begin with, and then they said to me, they told me that I I was always considered a real good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
A good hustler. I couldn't run, but what how many catchers can.
Right.
And so they said that I didn't catch low enough. You know, catchers nowadays are sit down and catch.
Right.
But hell, if they'd have told me that, I would have, you know, but everybody else. And so to make a long story short, I was with Albany for 3 years, caught over 100 games every year, hit around 260, 270. Rabbit Randall was my manager 1 year. Spex DePorcer, remember him?
Sure.
He was my manager 1 year. He did, and they would bring in, I don't know how many catchers, they had 12 or 14 catchers trying to replace me. And I averaged over 115 games a year catching. And then in the winter, they traded me or sold me to Williamsport in the same league. My manager was Spencer Abbott. All right, have I given you enough information?
You've given me a lot of information. I want some more, but you've given me a whole bunch.
All right,
Limbo, you keep going, and when you get to a point you want to stop, I'll ask you some questions.
Well, the point was, Spencer Abbott said by the way, Spencer Abbott was my brother's manager at Portland in 32.
Huh.
But anyway, we had a real good ball club. We had Ron Norby.
Oh, yeah.
And Roger Wolf, the knuckleball, remember?
Sure, sure do.
I caught him. And Don Richmond, he was a good ball player. Hal Quick, they all played little in the big leagues. That was the year we played against Bob Lemon, was the third baseman for Wilkes-Barre, you know.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. That's a long time back, but yeah.
And what's the big catcher's name for Cleveland?
Hegan.
Hegan was catching. That was a Cleveland farm.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie Reynolds had to be sent down that year. He couldn't make the club. So I was there, and I only hit 232. That's my worst. But I was a real good catcher, and we were in the playoffs. So I saw I wasn't getting anywhere, and the Williamsport was a connection with the Philadelphia Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got Tommy Richardson, who was the president of the league, who lived in Williamsport, and he liked me. And he got Connie Mack to give me a job to manage Newport News in the Virginia League.
Mm-hmm.
I took Chief Bender's place. Ever hear him?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
You're still a kid at this point, though. What are you, about 26?
Well, wait a minute. This is going to make you... I was 25 that year.
Okay.
So, you know, it was almost before the war was starting.
Right.
So I was living in Lake Charles by this time. I was married. And I wrote Mr. Mack a letter and told him that every year I'd go out to California to visit my people in Pasadena. They were training in Anaheim. It wouldn't cost them any money, and I'd be glad to catch batting practice and do things there before he sent me to Newport News. So he took me up on it. And while I was there, I was ready before their other catchers, and I was catching in the exhibition games, and Mr. Mack said to me one day, he said, "Well, Harry," he said, "you look like you could play in the American League."
Hmm.
But anyway, something happened, and then I went to Newport News as manager. I had a fair year. And that was. Then I stayed out 1 year because it looked like I was going to go into the service. And then I was rejected for what they called enlarged left ventricle, which turned out to be nothing. But anyway, I finished the season with. I sold myself to Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
We finished. We in the middle of the season, we went to Mobile, you know, the club change.
Right.
Southern and I played pretty well. And then I was free agent. And then Mr. Allen, who was the owner of the Mobile Club, said if I would come and play, this is 45 now, in the middle of the war, you know, he'd give me a what he called a non-reserve contract. They didn't allow them anymore, you know.
Right.
And it, well, I was there. They weren't even figuring on me, but anyway, I started hitting, and I set the consecutive hitting record in the Southern League in 49 consecutive games. That's when I played with George Shuba.
Yeah, that's why you are known today. You were a famous man for that.
And I only hit 2 home runs the whole year, and I broke the record with a home run.
Oh yeah, the you broke the 46th, the 47th game was a home run.
Yep.
I'll be darned. Okay.
All the pain off the fence on the way down. It was one of those. You see, I couldn't run, but I was a contact hitter. I'd strike out maybe in all the years I played. I might have in 18, 19. I might have struck out 100 times.
Oh wow, that's great.
And if I could have run at all, and some years I'd hit 300, but I was always around 270 to the. You know, and I had about 400 or 300 years, and
well, that year at Mobile in 45, you batted 350 something, didn't you?
Yeah. And but the thing is, they tried to beat me out then. They had another catcher, but it seemed like I never looked good until they compared me to what they had.
That was what George, right? The other catcher.
Huh?
George was the other catcher, right?
Johnny George.
Yeah.
Johnny was there, yeah.
Yeah, and Bobby Dews was there for a while, too.
Dews was there, that's right. Yeah, in fact, I heard Bobby Dews was there, and I caught about 86 or 87 games that year. But the thing that makes me laugh is if you look at my record, I only went hitless out of those 86 or 87 games maybe 8 or 9 times.
Oh, boy.
But it you know, when you have luck, you know, I hit the ball all the time.
So
ever so often, the law of averages, it would fall in there.
Yeah. It fell in there an awful lot for you that year. It fell in for you an awful lot that year.
Yeah.
What about, tell us about the in the middle of the hitting streak, or maybe I guess about two-thirds of the way into it, in which you were...
First game on a Sunday... Pete Thomas, the backswing, knocked me out.
He hit you with the bat?
Yeah.
Wow.
Knocked me unconscious. I'd been the bat against Memphis. Freddie Biggs was a pitcher. He walked me the first time. And I couldn't continue.
Uh-huh.
And Billy Evans, the president of the league, ruled that since I'd never had a time, he made an extra ruling that the streak was intact.
Well, you've got to have an official at bat to break the streak.
Well, I really don't know. I mean,
I think so.
Well, it helped the league because I was drawing wherever I was going.
Oh, I bet you were.
And so anyway, and Mr. Hopper was the manager. Remember Clay Hopper?
Sure.
He was the manager for Jackie Robinson the next year.
Uh-huh.
All right. Didn't like me either, by the way.
Oh, well, that didn't help.
Because I didn't figure in his plan.
Yeah.
But George was a 19-year-old kid, and he loved me. He couldn't understand why someone that as big as I was and couldn't run could get up in the middle of the night and hit the ball safe. By the way, he had a good year that year, too.
Yes, he did.
But anyway, so during my streak, I pinch hit or went to bat 4 times.
Right.
And got a hit.
It put a couple of pinch hits and a couple of times you were late inning replacement, right?
Good friend Hopper didn't seem to care much about my streak.
Oh, well, you showed him, didn't you?
Well, anyway, so my first time after him getting hit in the head, he put me in the pinch hit in the late innings. And I got a hit.
Yeah, well, 2 days after you were hit in the head.
Yeah.
Wow.
I must have been doing something wrong because I started getting hit in the head. I got hit in the head in Havana in 48. I was managing Miami Beach. And
hitting the wrong place at the wrong time.
Maybe I was moving too close or something.
Yeah.
Let's see what else.
Well, you got a hit in that streak off of a distant cousin of mine.
Who is it?
Jinx Poindexter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's of course he's dead now, and I never knew him. But
he wasn't in his prime then, because he could throw the ball. But he was having big years with the Red Sox and Little Rock.
Yeah, a few years before that.
Yeah.
He was a cousin of my grandfather. So whatever, it makes a second cousin or third cousin to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, is that something?
Yeah.
Good hit. Yep.
Oh, you had some good pitchers.
Yeah. Meyer is a pitch for the Cubs and the...
Russ Meyer, yeah. And John Hetke was in there.
Oh, he can throw.
Let
me tell you about John Hetke.
All right.
You know, I was 29 years old, but they considered me an old-timer then, you know.
Uh-huh.
We were in Birmingham, and we did go at the restaurant, and we talked to Hetke. Hetke was pitching the next day, and he could throw that ball. So I said, he said, Harry, what do you think of my pitching? I said, well, you can throw the hell out of the ball, but you're not going to get anywhere if you don't have a change of, you don't have a good change of pace. The next night he was pitching, he got two strikes on me so fast with that fastball you couldn't. And sure enough, on the next pitch, I knew he was going to show me he had a change of pace.
Well, there was, you got a hit off of Carpenter in there, and Carpenter could was. He couldn't be beaten that year.
That's right.
22-2 or something like that?
Yeah. Gil Cohn was there.
Yeah. Aloma.
Yeah, Louis Aloma.
Yeah, Deal.
Huh?
Deal was there, wasn't he? Deal. Got Deal.
Sure, they had some good ball players.
Yeah, awfully good ball players.
The year before, I played against the one-arm guy.
Gray? Yeah.
Yeah. He was in Memphis.
Uh-huh. Well, where'd you go after 40? After 45, what'd you do then?
After 45, I was a free agent.
Uh-huh.
You understand, because of my free agency contract.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to make a few dollars, and believe it or not, Branch Rickey wanted me to come up for nothing.
Oh.
I got $5,000 bonus to sign with Memphis, Doc Prothro.
Uh-huh.
Which wasn't bad money for a kid in those days. And I played for Memphis. Had a good year, and then he decided he wanted me to go to Greenville to manage, where he had some good young pitchers. One of my pitchers was Bob Schultz, left-hander. He played in the pitching big league.
Sure.
Okay, you asked more questions.
Okay. Well, along the line, a long career, you saw a lot of players going both ways, going up and coming down. Who was the best player you saw?
Well, a lot of them. I managed, you know.
Yes, sir.
The St. Louis Brown organization. I guess the most successful one was Ryan Duren. I had him at Pine Bluff in 1950.
Uh-huh.
And I had the finest bunch of young players on the 1950 Pine Bluff Club you'd ever see. Fine young players.
Who were some besides Duren?
Well, unfortunately, they never made it, but my first baseman was a fellow named Scarpace.
Uh-huh.
Harry Schwegman played second base. Bob Kurtz on third. And old-timer named Rosie Cantrell played about with the outfield.
Uh-huh.
And I had some good pitching.
Duren was the star of the show, though.
I used him for relief sometime, and I just had some good pitchers. Another one I had the year before at Pine Bluff, Eddie Albrecht. He won 32-5 for me.
Wow.
He went up at the end of the year in 1949, and he beat the White Sox on one hit the last day of the season, an abbreviated game.
What happened to him?
Well, he kind of pooped out.
Yeah, I remember that name vaguely. I couldn't tell you much about him, but I do remember he was very highly regarded.
Yeah.
How long did you manage altogether?
I managed Newport News in 42, then I didn't manage again till 47 at Greenville, 48 at Miami Beach, 49
baseball, what, 18 years?
Around that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Sure.
What game along the way at any level stands out in your mind as your best game or the biggest thrill you had? If there is one. Sometimes there's not one.
Well, of course, when I broke the record with a home run.
Oh, I bet that was, yeah.
In 1936 at El Dorado, I made more money hitting home runs and collections than I made in salary. Yeah. I never hit a lot of home runs, but I hit a few.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that about. I heard a lot of stories about that, about the collections that were taken up.
You know, when I broke the record, by the way, the chief of police of Mobile, who was a good friend of mine, by the way, he was Johnny George's cousin.
Oh, yeah?
His name was Dudley McFadden. His police people took up a collection for me, and I got around $1,200 in nickels and dimes and quarters.
Wow. That's a good day's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a season's work back in those days, wasn't it?
I finished paying off my house.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Tell me about the game you played for Cincinnati. Do you recall that?
Sure, I called Wild Bill Hallahan.
Oh, boy, a day's work there.
He was on his way down against the Phillies. And, of course, the thing that was interesting was that they used the indicator system up there, you know, with men on second base.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't used to using it, you know. We use flat hand for a fastball, wiggle for the curve, you know, fish for pitch out. So he told me we're using the indicator, and I was ashamed to tell him I didn't know any different. And my brother had told me, he said, when you're hitting, Harry, he said, if you look for the fastball all the time, the curve won't fool you.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'd give what I thought was the signs, and I got by pretty good. We got beat, but anyway, after the game, Hallahan said to me, he said, you called a good kid. He said, I didn't have to shake you up but once. But Lombardi gave me a catcher's mitt for my 22nd birthday when I was up there. Nice fella.
Yeah, everybody says he was a nice man.
Oh, Darren, you're all I was there. A lot of, you know, Lou Riggs.
Uh-huh.
Alex Camporis.
That was just short of being a good team at that point.
Yeah, the next year they had a good team.
Mm-hmm, really did.
Yeah.
They had good catching, too. They had Lombardi and Spud Davis. That's a hard act to get into.
Spud was there then, yeah.
Yeah.
Spud was nice to me.
He was a nice man.
Yeah. Coach the next year.
Uh-huh. He was just wrapping it up at that point.
Yeah.
Do you hear from the fans today, Harry?
Yes. Well, let me tell you something that's crazy.
Okay.
Every year, I get about 50 letters asking for my autograph.
Uh-huh.
And I always say that the reason I get my... I'm important because of my unimportance. When they get the 1937 Cincinnati Club, you understand?
Yeah.
I'm the last guy they ask for, so they don't have anybody until they're not complete without me. Gotten requests for my autograph during the Gulf War from some soldiers over there.
Wow.
Yeah, so then my sons made up a baseball card of me when I was in Cincinnati, gave them to me, about 1,000 of them, and I autograph them, give them here and there, people, and people call me and I tell them to send me a stamp to the address envelope and I'll send them one.
Well, will you send me one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send.
I'll tell you what. Send me a stamp envelope and I'll do it.
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of this before I send it to the magazine.
All right.
To get your approval.
I'm going to put it in the... You think it'll be worthwhile?
Yes. By all means, it will be.
Will you send me a copy? By the way, I'm in the Jewish Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Some guy wrote a book.
Well, that's... Yeah, I've seen the book. I've never read it, but I've seen it on the bookshelf.
Big article about me in the big book called Bush League.
Yeah, well, I expect there is. That record is a fantastic record.
Yeah.
Would you do this again? Would you be a ball player again?
Huh?
Would you be a ball player again?
Yes, I'm very, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. What little success I had, you know, my brother, who was a ball player, he laughed. He said, Harry, God, if you'd have had any ability at all, they'd have hung out the red carpet for you every day. I live in the same town here with Alvin Dark. You know, he was at the time years ago.
Uh-huh.
In fact, his brother played with me when I played it. And they make over me as much as him. And, of course, you know, I couldn't be in the same ballpark with him.
Dark was a good ball player, a very nice man. I interviewed him about a year ago.
Yeah, he's a nice fellow.
Really nice fellow. Yes, I will. How many? I'll tell you what. First thing, I will send you a copy of this. Probably take me about a week to get it organized.
Cards. Would you like to have them?
Oh, I sure would. I really would.
How's George doing?
He's doing fine.
I saw George in Mobile about seven or eight years ago. They had there's a team there that won a lot of things. You know, Connors was on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And George is such a loyal friend of mine. I wasn't even supposed to be included. You know, that wasn't my. But he kept raising Cain until they.